You have a weapon?
Yeah, a big one. How about you?
You sure you want to get cute with me? You have a backup weapon?
Never had the need.
Get one. Keep that in your suit unless I tell you to take it out. Get yourself a Glock. Lose that nickel-plated sissy pistol.
We'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way.
Well, American man.
God bless America.
I'll be an American where at least I know I'm free.
American girls and American guys.
Mr. President, members of Congress, you've been making a lot of noise about taking our guns away, but you might want to review history. 1835, Gonzales, Texas Territory. The authorities wanted to confiscate the big gun that protected that colony. You know what the people said? Come and take it, because they were willing to fight for their freedom and their guns. So are we.
Come and take me. 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 Come through us and take it.
One shot at a time. Just like Gonzales. We're keeping our guns.
She's back. Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Survival Circle. You can find it right here on the Shooting Bench. Coming up next.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall.
You need the Shooting Bench.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline.
And I am sick of the lies and the deceit and the intrusions on my privacy and the invasion of my home. And we do not intend to take this lying down.
I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide, and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way.
And now, if you think you're ready, the shooting bench. Well, here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench, 24th of February. Having a lot of computer problems tonight, so I'm not sure how this is going to turn out. We'll do the best we can. I'm having a hard time getting things opened up, and everything is moving slowly. And I don't know, I think some other people having problems with that a while ago. So we'll do the best we can with what we got. And if it, hang on just a second, there's one finally just opened up here that I've been wanting to open here for a little while. Really slow. And then when they're trying to get things open, we got videos starting automatically that I didn't ask for, don't want, don't care about. I caught that one in time. All right, so I'm going to try to get along here best I can. I'll remind everyone again here very shortly. I'm hoping this week that we'll have some of the Survival Circle Network decals available. These are neat looking little decals. They're much like the ones in the top left of your chat room there, except they're solid color. They're either red, they're black, or they're white, depending on what you want to put them on is what color you order. And we'll have those available here for you on our online store here, and I'm hoping that all comes by the end of the week. But anyway, they'll get here when they get here. And we have, I talked to y'all last week quite a bit about community organization and getting your individual communities or neighborhoods or counties or whatever, you know, depending on your population and how much work you want to put into it, getting them prepared for things that may happen in our future. So as we're doing this, we thought, and I may have said this before, but I think the one good way to do this, once you start doing it, get decided on what you want to do, probably the first meeting that you have might be, hang on a minute, we're going to have some more noise come up here, and I'm not going to be able to stop it. Dadgummit. The way to do this might be to, your first meeting, have it with some pastors, bishops and whatever of your area there, of your local churches, and have them pass the information on to their congregation and stuff. And I may have told you that, but that's what we're planning on doing, is getting some of the community leaders together and start with them, and then we'll take it from there and see how we are to continue. But we're going to start doing that here at Most Ricky Tick and try to get this deal moving here. Okay, let's look at what do you mean buy this domain? I don't want to buy this domain. What are you talking about? Let's try this again. I am really having trouble. I'm not even sure if the sound is coming through or not. I got to get my chat room back and see if there's even anybody out there listening to me. All right. Well, let's just go on. We'll just talk like we had good sense here and see what happens. The New York Times is a disgusting rag in and of itself. But on the 11th of February, just a couple of weeks ago, they have announced this report from the Violence Policy Center. And they're claiming now that concealed carry holders are, in fact, bad guys with guns. And I have such a hard time understanding when there's so many statistics, so much facts out there that that's just not the case at all, that there has been so many lives saved and so many crimes averted. And okay, DeTinker, thank you for that. Yeah, I'm just kind of shooting in the dark here, trying to keep going. So so many statistics out there that prove otherwise, and they still want to go and say something stupid like the concealed carry holders are in fact the bad guys with the guns in a scenario where good guys with guns are promised. But this VPC report, the Violence Policy Center report, shows that 722 non-self-defense deaths since 2007 were attributable to individuals with legal permits to carry concealed weapons. Then the New York Times jumps on there by adding that the full death toll attributable to concealed carry is undoubtedly large, even though they don't have any facts or anything, but it's undoubtedly larger because the center's study did not cover all 50 states. New York Times made it clear that the only thing preventing the discovery of complete death toll numbers is that pro-gun lawmakers dare not allow a national tally. So, 722. Now, that's a lot of folks, and we hate to see people die. You know, that's just it's a bad thing, no matter how you look at it. But 722 out of Let's look here and see if we can get some facts to go with this, some statistics, as they call them. 722 non-defense-related deaths. It doesn't say in what state or how many states they did this in. It just said they didn't do it in all 50 states, so they either did it in one or in 49 or somewhere in between there. But the problem with this is if you read John Lott's study, he says that it's written in such a way, and they always do this, that the crime numbers amongst concealed carry permit holders are also lumping in the suicides and murders together in with the states that were studied. One example is there's 277 suicides or murders for Michigan concealed carry permit holders for the period of time between 2007 and 2015. That's 8 years. In 8 years, there was 277. Unacceptable number. One is an unacceptable number to me. But 277 in 8 years, I can't imagine that being that bad. But John Lott says that 217 of these suicides or murders, quote-unquote, were in fact suicides. This fact alone drops the grand tally of 72 non-defense-related deaths by 38%, without even looking at how the numbers have or have not been represented in other states. So leave it to John Lott. He's always on top of this. He's sharp. Well, He's one of those guys that can whip out the facts for you just in real quick. He also says that the suicides most often happen at home and therefore don't have no meaningful way to connect that to a legally carry, a permitted concealed handgun outside of the home. So it doesn't matter that they have a concealed license. What matters is that the suicide happened in the house where it didn't matter if they had a license or not, because they probably weren't carrying concealed in their home. They probably went back there and got it off the nightstand and did whatever it was that they set out to do. On top of that, he says the suicide rate amongst concealed carry holders in Michigan was 6.2. Now here's this proves my theory here that I said just a minute ago. 6.2 per 100,000 permit holders. Okay? Now, so they've singled out the permit holders alone, and the suicides amongst these were 6.2 per 100,000 permit holders. Remember I said up here 277 in 8 years really can't be that bad. Well, the rate amongst the general adult population, was 16.59 per 100,000. Almost three times higher amongst the non-permit holders as it was with the permit holders. So, thank you once again, John Lott, for bringing that to our attention. You do a good job. in people on Twitter think this is funny, but in Nevada, they're trying to introduce a, or they have introduced a bill, I guess. It's called the Pop-Tarts Gun Bill. What the Pop-Tarts Gun Bill is doing here is protecting kids from being kids. You remember the story about the kid that chewed the Pop-Tart into the shape of a gun, took a couple of bites out of it, made it could have been an L, it could have been a hockey puck, it could have been a hatchet, you know, it could have been anything, but they decided this Pop-Tart looked like a gun. Stupid as it can be. But at any rate, there's a bill now been introduced in Nevada to protect kids from doing things that kids do. And some of the people on Twitter seem to think that that's funny. And they're trying to protect kids from, you know, from creating gun or from kids getting disciplined for building guns with or creating something that looks like a gun with building blocks or food, or as well as drawing guns or using hand gestures. You know, you remember the kid that had the chicken fingers and said pow pow at lunch and got suspended. The other kid doing it with his fingers. And they're just being kids. They're being little boys. You know, while these kids are being punished for being little boys with imaginary guns, there's little boys just like them in Iraq or Syria or wherever over there that are training to kill these kids. There are 5, 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old kids over there that are already operating AK-47s. There's 5, 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old kids over there that have learned to operate an anti-tank weapon. I'm trying to think of the term for it, but an RPG. That's what I'm thinking of. And so while these kids are over there learning to make war, our kids are learning that it's wrong to be a kid. They're learning that it's wrong to play, learning that it's wrong to use your imagination. And if those, hey Hopper, Kilogram, glad you guys made it in. Tundraboar, haven't seen you for a while, glad you made it in here. And Doc, who else we got? A bunch of the regulars here that went on with Amy's show, Yakima Glock and the Tampico Scout Bunch. Glad you guys all made it in here. But anyway, this is is a real eye opener to me just to watch these videos of these kids that were well disciplined. Timing was good. I mean, everything, you know, these were little kids doing things that our soldiers are not even allowed to do. Doing things that the average guy on the street that's 20, 25, 40 years old in this country can't even do, wouldn't do if they had the opportunity, wouldn't have the foggiest notion of how to go about it. And here we're going to be attacked by a bunch of five-year-olds, and they're going to wind up wiping us out here because they train and they practice and they learn. And our kids get in trouble for chewing a Pop-Tart in the shape of a gun. Let's see here. Let me see if there's more about this bill, if I can get this thing to work right in here. Here's some of the remarks that came up on Twitter here, poking fun at this guy. Somebody said, oh, there was an assemblyman here. Elliot Anderson said, I didn't realize our pastry rights were being infringed on. And then using the substituting the word rifle, he paraphrased a boot camp
chant from the Full Metal Jacket, you know, that says, this is my donut. There are many like it, but this one is mine. And he said, school districts are more than capable of dealing with this. We have more pressing issues than one overreaction in Maryland. So, I think this is great that somebody has addressed this and going to protect these kids a little bit. That's just asinine. It's absolutely absurd that this even needs to come up. It's just stupid. Republican lawmakers advocating for gun owners wanting to lock their weapons in cars on school grounds, a current misdemeanor. In 2013, police arrested an 18-year-old student from Cheyenne High School that had a .32 caliber gun in his car. So you remember they had arrested the other kid, expelled him for having a fishing knife in his car. Well, the knife was a fish fillet knife, I guess it was, not a fishing knife. The knife was in a kit of some kind. I don't remember what kind of some kind of a tool kit or toolbox or something. And he didn't even know it was in there. And we hear stories of kids that have found stuff and tried to do the right thing, take it into the office and say, "Look, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't know this was in the car, but you know, I know it's wrong, so I'm bringing it to you." And they still get arrested or expelled or both. And so I am sick to death of this kind of stuff. So, anti-gun attorney. This was Cleveland Hopkins Airport. Anti-gun attorney arrested for having a concealed handgun in his carry-on bag. Imagine my surprise. David Malik, the original attorney for the family of a 12-year-old Tamir Rice, who was slain by police in November, spent the night in jail after having a .22 caliber handgun and a box of ammunition were discovered by airport security. Anti-gunner, such an anti-violence person, and all of the things for him to get arrested for. Okay, well, imagine that. All right, well, I'm struggling along here trying to get something to happen right. So I'm going to play a little song here, and I'll be back in a minute.
Took the present from his daddy's hand, a genuine toy hammer. He started beating to beat the band. He hit the floors and the wall, broke a lamp in the hall, started swinging at the puppy's tail. When you're holding a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Listen now, he was the president, number 44. He says, "Trust me, I'm here to help you. I have got some big, big plans. You're gonna love what I'm gonna do. There's no problem too big or small. He thinks he's got an answer that just can't fail. When you're holding a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Well, he thinks big thoughts and he dreams big dreams, but it's another man's sweat that pays for those schemes. He don't care how the little people feel, 'cause saving the world is a big freaking deal. So he does his business behind closed doors and pretends that the world is just begging for more. When the stuff hits the fan, he says, 'Don't look at me. If you got trouble, blame 43. Now Congress is saving Wall Street while they're watching Main Street fall. They got healthcare all figured out, much at all. As soon as they save this planet, they'll put the fire out in hell. When you're holding a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Yeah, they think big thoughts and they dream big dreams, but it's another man's sweat that pays for those schemes. They don't care how the little people feel, 'cause saving the world is a big freaking deal. They do their business behind closed doors and pretend that the world is just begging for more. When the
they say, don't look at me. If you got trouble, blame 43. There'll be a party come this November where we're gonna set things straight. All good people gonna gather around, gonna show what made this country great. We'll run off the schemers and backroom dealers, so the red, white, and blue will prevail when we're holding the hammer. When we're
That's what I like to see, bullseyes, every time. And you can do the same thing with Byers Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Byers Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Byers Barrels specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10/22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at ByersBarrels.com. That's BeyerBarrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Fence, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Corp Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the Shooting Bench.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me
there. Okay. We're back here. I don't know if you guys saw the story of the Houston cop who, there was a guy, you know, I've got mixed feelings about this, you know, people carrying rifles around saying, well, it's my right, I can open carry if I want to. You know, it's okay if you have a reason to do it, but I think for the most part, most of them are doing it for nothing more than to rub the cop's nose in it. And, you know, there is no legitimate, real good reason to be doing it. Can they? Yes. Should they be able to? Absolutely. But the only reason, the only thing that I can figure that they're doing it for is just to stir up trouble. Just to see if they can get away with it. You know, I don't know. We carry handguns all the time because handguns are, and in Texas, you know, you could say, well, you can't carry handguns in Texas. You can only carry rifles and shotguns. Okay, well, that's fine. It's been that way forever. Why is it just now in the last 6 months or so that people have this overwhelming and insatiable desire to carry an AR-15 downtown? This guy was dressed in a kilt and carrying an AR-15. Now, if he was just going to his neighbor's house and carrying his gun, that's a different story. I'm not saying that it's wrong or that he shouldn't do it. I'm just saying these people ought to expect to get hassled a little bit. Now, the cop was wrong. He was absolutely wrong. There's no question about it. The cop, and he even said, you know, I'm one of the 3% that you guys are trying to portray, but this is just stupid, he said. He was absolutely wrong. He arrested the kid. He detained him anyway. Put handcuffs on him, put him in the car, and then called his superior and said, what should I do? What can I do? What, this guy's carrying a gun. Somebody called and reported him. And so in his own words, I guess he's thinking that just because somebody calls and reports something, that you have an obligation to enact some sort of justice or some kind of you know, there has to be some kind of action against these people when that happens. Hopper, it could be. You know, I've always said that, but I still see a difference between, I still see a difference between carrying a handgun as you get dressed regularly and carrying a rifle just to make a point. If you're going to, now, again, in Texas, you don't have any choice. You have to, you know, you don't make much of a point by carrying a handgun concealed. So, you know, I see why they're doing it. I know why they're doing it, but it just, I don't know. I guess they're fair willing to accept the trouble that they're going to get in and the money it may cost them. And for the most part, it doesn't cost them anything because usually they prevail. But it happens over and over and over. And it just irks me that they are forced to do such a thing. And, you know, like I said, carrying a handgun, I wrote a big long thing about carrying handguns one time and said, well, this shouldn't bother you unless someone that's 6'4" and 250 pounds carrying a gun is intimidating to you in some way. But anyway, this guy that, and Kilogram's exactly right. It's the ones that hide in the guns you need to be worried about, not the ones out front. This cop asked this kid, he said, he asked me if he had any identification. He said, nope. And he said, well, how am I supposed to know if you're a felon or not? If I'd have been that kid, I'd have said, I don't know if he's a kid. He's probably a kid to me. But I'd have said, well, let's analyze this situation here a little bit. Let's think about this. Here I am. Dressed in a dress, walking down a sidewalk on a public street with a rifle slung over my shoulder. How many felons do you know that do that? How many felons do you know that dress up in a kilt and throw a rifle over the shoulder and walk down the street just to see if the cops can stop them? I'm thinking that that cop was probably very much resembled an idiot. He may want to say, well, I'm one of the 3%. I'm one of the good guys. I believe it. I'm a Second Amendment advocate. Yeah, well, you're also a puppet. You're doing things you don't even know what to do when you're doing them. You stop the guy and say, well, you know, what do I do now? I've got to do something. I'll call my boss and find out what I need to do with you. So, anyway, and Doc, you know, that's the point there. You'd like to carry rifles on your bike to go to gun shows, even though it's technically legal. Yeah, you're probably going to get hassled over it. Now, Jason and I, and Amy, did that one time. We weren't just walking down the street from one place to another. We were actually going on a hike, and I didn't want to, you know, drive the truck out somewhere with everything and park it and go for a walk and come back and get in the truck and come back. We decided to just walk from the house. After a fact, we did it a couple of times. Did it from the shop a time or two and from the house a time or two, where we got all our gear on and weapons and stuff and marched out of town. Now, in New Mexico, they don't think a hell of a lot of that. We never had anybody talk to us. Or stop us or any problems. We did run into a couple of civilians, citizens, I should say, and didn't have any problem at all. And one guy was a little taken back, I think. He we were walking, it was getting dark, and this guy and his wife were walking the dog out there. We was right out in front of the parking lot of one of the schools there. And the guy got right up to me, and I guess he felt like he needed to say something or or he was kind of intimidated, and he didn't know exactly what to say. So as he's walking by, he had this nervous look on his face. He just kind of said, "Nice gun," and kept walking. I walked one time. I was in a situation. I took my pickup down to the shop down there. It had, I don't remember what it was doing, getting tires rotated or probably air conditioning work on it. And I didn't want to leave all my goodies in the truck when I left. And I had, it was right before, right about the time that I bought Ross Sporting Goods. And so I didn't want to leave all this stuff in there. I had a lever action 44 Magnum and a briefcase and the handgun that I was wearing. And I walked, I took all that stuff with me. I had no other choice. I had to walk down to the shop. And it was just circumstances were such that I, and timing was in such a way that I didn't have any choice. So in something like that, I was just one of those things I had to do. And since it was, now if I'd have been living in somewhere where it was illegal or where I knew that I was going to get hassled, I might have tried to, I might have picked a different day to do that. But since I was in New Mexico, so what? Well, I walked, I walked down about 100 yards from this repair shop there, tire shop. And I crossed over to the other side of the street, and about the time I walked around the corner there, there's a city cop sitting there in the shade, and he's working on paper. I walked right in front, less than 20 feet, 25 feet, in front of his car, carrying a rifle, wearing a handgun, carrying a briefcase, and he never looked up. Never had any idea that I was there. Now, what would have happened if he would have looked up, I don't know. But nevertheless, he never knew. Never knew I was there. Let's see. All right, let me get back up here. Here's a good story. Now, if this would have been, you know, some of the kids that I've worked with and some of the younger students and teachers and stuff that I've worked with, these cops might have wound up with a mouth full of fire extinguisher or something. But these guys going down a school hallway with AR-15s unannounced in an active shooter drill. Apparently they're trying to mentally prepare students and faculty there on how to react to an active shooter on campus. This was in schools in Oregon, Florida, New Jersey have all adopted this an unannounced active shooter drill policy. At one middle school in Florida in November 2014, two gunmen barreling down the school's hallway with a pistol and an AR-15. The paper reports that the gunmen turned out to be local police officers who were screaming, "This is a drill!" But the sight of the weapons contributed to frightening many students into texting their parents to say they feared for their lives. ABC News reported that one of the officers portraying a gunman came into a classroom with an assault rifle. How stupid is that? So here's what's going to happen. What we're going to have is we're going to have bad guys, we're going to have terrorists come into a school with AR-15, AK-47, holler, and this is a drill, until they get to where they want to be, and then they're going to open fire. That's what's going to happen. Because everybody is reading this stuff. It's not anything, secret or anything. So all they got to do is say, "This is a drill." Yakima Glock, I agree. Now these guys, what would happen if there just happened to be a teacher, the janitor, who says, "You know what? I'd like to keep my job, And as long as nobody, you know, as long as I don't have to go through any metal detectors thing, I'm going to take my chances, and I'm going to wear this little 2-inch 5-shot 38 just on account of, you know, I just feel like I ought to. And what happens one of these days when one of these cops carrying an AR-15 dressed in civilian clothes shouting this is a drill, or maybe hadn't shouted yet, maybe the janitor didn't hear it, janitor steps out from the broom closet and blasts this guy away. So he is forced into committing a felony. Found out it was a cop, and I just don't see anything at all good coming out. Not a damn thing good coming out of this. What if a teacher wanting to protect his young fourth grade students sees this guy in a mirror or out of the corner of his eye or something, and so he grabs a fire extinguisher and hides by the door, and here comes this guy, and he walks out and caves his face in with it. That would tickle me to death. That is about the dumbest thing that I've ever heard of an adult doing any time since yesterday. Okay, man, unbelievable. Another cop here claims that the video of them killing an unarmed man can't be used as evidence. No, this was another one up in Washington. You guys need to get Washington put together up there. This was in Pasco. They stated that the citizen's video that showed them killing an unarmed man as he ran away could not be used as evidence. And we talked about it the day when this actually happened, but now that there's more stuff going on, this video was published on YouTube February 11th, captured the shooting very clearly, and it had been viewed over 1.6 million times as of Thursday, February 19th. This shooting marks the fourth killing by Pasco police in less than a year. Okay, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. The other three may have been perfectly legitimate bad guys, and that's okay. So the number is irrelevant if you don't have some facts to go with it. That the police went to the home of the man who filmed the shooting, took his phone without a warrant. Without a warrant, they had none. They just walked right in and said, "We're going to take your phone." And the guy told, he's 21 years old, he told the Free Thought Project that the police had made no contact with him prior to invading his privacy. When the police showed up at his door, they said it was because he had not been answering his phone. They then gave him the choice of either handing his phone over to him or going with them to the station while they retrieved the file. The police did not give him the opportunity to clean out his personal files before they took it into their possession. The officers reportedly told him the only thing they would look for would be the video. But he still feels like his privacy was invaded. It don't matter whether they look for the video or not. He said, "They didn't have a warrant. I was going to consult a lawyer tomorrow on what I should do. I spoke with a lawyer today, and he told me that the police need the video for evidence, but that it wasn't required, that I wasn't required to give a statement." He told the Free Thought Project when we asked if he intended to turn the video over to them before they paid him a surprise visit. So the police attempted to get him to give a statement, but he declined and is wisely waiting until his lawyer is present. He said he witnessed nearly the entire encounter. When he arrived, there was only one officer at the scene. "I don't think the officers did the right thing. I think they overused their power. There was a few different ways that they could have handled the situation." Citing the tail and the taser might be one way they could have done it. This kid says he films every interaction or police encounter he witnesses and urges everyone else to do the same. Everyone needs to start filming police so that when things like this happen, police don't try to change things up. Well, you know what? There's been a thousand times here that or more that the police have been videoed, have been absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt in the wrong. All they got to do is say, I feared for my life. And that's it. And they get away with it. So, as I said, I saw a story today, and I thought I saved it. Maybe I did. Let me go look here. I think I saved it here somewhere. I meant to say when I was talking about the cop and the open carry rifle guy a while ago, the cop said, you can try all that constitutional BS on me you want to. When the guy said, here's one. Here's the one. All right, stand by just a minute. This is the one I wanted to... This is the one I commented on online. It was in Fort Lauderdale. And there's an update now. The news reports that the officer's name is Victor Ramirez. And the man he assaulted, Ramirez, has been suspended with pay pending an investigation. So the video being shared on what appears to be Fort Lauderdale police officer pushed a man to the ground before delivering a vicious slap, all because the man wanted to use a public restroom. In the video, the homeless guy was walking into a terminal. The cop was following along behind him, slipping on latex gloves as he was walking. Then he grabs the man's arm. The man jerks away. That's when the officer pushes him to the ground. He was laying on the ground, shouting F you at the cop, who responds by pointing his latex-covered finger at the man, saying, relax, I'm telling you right now what's going to happen. I'm telling you right now what's going to happen. I'm escorting you out of here right now. The guy said, I want to go pee. He said, you're not going to go pee. You're not supposed to pee here. I mean, this is a public restroom he was going to, The officer, the guy reached back and slapped him across his face. He accused the man of trying to fight him, which the video clearly shows that was not the case. After putting him in handcuffs, he proceeded to give him a lecture. He says, I'll tell you what to do, and you do it. It's that simple. Video has been shared thousands of times on Facebook. It eventually got around to the Fort Lauderdale Police Department. Officials say that he's been placed on paid administrative leave. The guy was arrested for trespassing and released Monday, the homeless guy, which I don't know why he was arrested for that. But anyway, when I see all of these stories over and over, every day, every single day, I have more brand new ones that's never been heard of before. And I put on one of these comments today, I said, you know what? The poop is going to hit the fan one of these days. Most of these cops probably know that. I can't help but think that there's going to be a number of people out there that are going to be looking for retribution. When the poop hits the fan and the rule of law goes away, I think that a whole lot of these cops would probably do well to lay down their badge and their department-issued gun and uniform and see if they could ease on back to the house and blend into the general population there. Because I'm afraid that a lot of people are just waiting for that opportunity to get a little payback for some of these things that they're doing. And the sad thing about it is, like this cop that I just now got talking about, I don't care about him. I don't care what they do to him. What bothers me, though, is there are a lot of good cops out there. And I'm afraid that just like minorities or anything else, people are going to see the uniform, and they're all going to be fair game, and that's a shame, because it's not right, it's not the way it should be, but that's come on Glock, yeah, I think you're right, it's probably going to turn into open season. on cops, and that's very unfortunate, because there's, you know, there's still lots and lots of good cops out there, and those guys can help us. They can be on our side. They can give us a hand in the things that we're doing, but I'm afraid that it's going to turn into a free-for-all. And maybe that's what they're practicing for now. Maybe what they're doing is more and more of these cops are doing this in order to strike fear in the hearts of the citizenry. But what I'm afraid, it's going to backfire on them. I'm afraid that's not going to be the case. Anyway. Well, we'll see what happens. Hopefully there will be some common sense will prevail here in some of these cases. And some of this, it won't be as bad as what we expect here. Remember the story we talked about here? Oh, I don't know. It's been several months ago. this story will probably ring a bell to you. We talked about it the day it happened. Does the name, hang on here, Lindsay Stone, does the name Lindsay Stone ring a bell to you? Well, Lindsay Stone is, she is the epitome of a dirtbag war protester here. And apparently in the one picture I see her, she looks like a pretty good-looking gal, young. And but she was the one, remember, where she was caught flipping off the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, or was at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, when she was hollering vile stuff at him and flipping it off. Well, karma. Karma come and visited Lindsay Stone. And it hasn't been good for her. Let me tell you what karma has done for this gal. Karma come and talked to this gal, and it said not long after her co-worker of hers snapped the picture, both of the women were terminated from their jobs after their workplace was, of course, they're not going to put the name of it in here, after the work they did originally back when this first happened. But workplace was flooded with angry callers. One irate veteran created a Facebook page calling for Stone's termination titled Fire Lindsay Stone, where it quickly amassed more than 19,000 likes, but has since been taken down after serving its purpose. That's good. That's okay. In addition to losing her job, she was unable to leave her house for a year. So I guess it's been longer than that since we talked longer than what I thought it was. Unable to leave her house for a year, living in continual fear after receiving death and rape threats, while others demanded that she be sent to prison. Some of the comments off there, Lindsay Stone hates the military and hates soldiers who have died in foreign wars. The other one said, you should rot in hell. Another one said, just pure evil. Her own father called his daughter's behavior disgraceful and said that taking the picture was a total lapse of judgment, and demanded that his daughter apologize. He said it was just a spur-of-the-moment, total lapse of judgment. She wasn't reacting to the place, she was reacting to the sign, and she apologizes to everybody. Well, Daddy-O, you saying she apologizes ain't going to cut it, I can promise you that. After being continually turned down for almost a year by potential employers, Stone was finally able to land a job working with autistic children, but even now, she lives in continual fear that her new employers will find the photo and terminate her. It has also affected her love life, since Stone refuses to date, fearing what people might think of her. She said, since it happened, I haven't tried to date anybody. How much do you let a new person into your life? Do they already know? Now she's... Now she's enlisted the help of a reputation management service company, reputation.com, so more neutral images will pop up when people do a Google search of her name. So, next time you decide to flip off Soldier at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, I guess you can expect something like that to happen. Now, you know, on the other hand, I can also say that while my first impression is to think, first inclination is to think that, you know, all these people are right and she got what she deserved. On the other hand, if we expect anybody to uphold our constitutional rights, hers should probably be upheld too. If she wants to be a scumbag loser and flip off the you know, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, yeah, I can see people not wanting to hire her, not wanting to, okay, but to kill and rape and all that, no. No, that's not the way to do it. I can see people not wanting to hire. I can see people not wanting to date her. I can see people turning their nose up and not wanting to talk to her on the street. I can understand all that. I have no problem with that. But to talk about that kind of violence and everything towards her because of what she did, then no, that's not the way to do it at all. We should be better than that. I guess Yakima Glock looked her up there. Need to get her money back from that company. The first picture that popped up was her flipping off the tomb. That's going to be hard to live down. I don't know what she's paying that company, but I can promise you they've got their work cut out for her if they want to get her reputation fixed up there a little bit. But anyway. All right. Well, I'm going to sneak on out of here. And remember, the decals are coming up. Hope to have them this week. And we've got the big Arms Expo coming up in Yakima, Washington in June. And June is getting closer. It's the end of February already. So, man, time is flying. So we're going to be up there. And then the following weekend after the... After the Arms Expo. The Arms Expo is, what, 19th and 20th, I think? Hold on a minute. Let me bring a calendar up here. 20th and 21st, I believe. So the three-day personal defense handgun class, personal defense handgun 3, will be held on the 26th, 27th, and 28th of June. So if you guys want to get in on that, you need to... start thinking about it here. You got time to get your money together, get your ammo together. You're going to need 800 rounds of ammo. And if you go on to theshootingbench.us, go to the online store, click on the Yakima class there. There's a code there for you to put in to knock $100 off that class. So there's your chance. I think there's either 12 or 15 opportunities to save $100 on that class. So if you don't get in on that first bunch, then it's going to cost you full tilt. All right. Well, that being said, I am out of here. I'll see you tomorrow night. Amy will not. But also, Thursday, kind of up in the air. We're having a meeting. I'm pretty sure that we'll do a pre-record for Amy or an archive, one or the other. And nevertheless, Amy, in some form or fashion, will be here Thursday night. I think I'll be back in time. All right. Anyway, we'll see. Thanks for being with me.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of The Shooting Bench. Please join Cope Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. If there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.